Hello and welcome to Coffee Cup Tarot, a podcast about the storytelling aspect of tarot and developing an intuitive understanding to the messages they reveal. I'm your host, Marcella Cadill. You can follow me on Instagram at Coffee Cup Tarot Reader, or you can book a reading directly with me at www.coffeecuptarot.com. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday episode of Coffee Cup Tarot. I'm Marcella.
I'm Aisha.
Do we need to say that anymore?
Do you guys know
our voices?
I would hope so. We don't have similar voices.
No, we don't. I'm very shrill.
What?
I think I have a shrill voice. So I'm sorry that you guys have to listen to me all the time.
You do not have a shrill voice at all. That's so weird. It's always weird hearing your voice back.
I hate it. I want to cut everything when I edit these episodes.
I remember that feeling.
Ugh, it's so annoying. Okay, so today we've been getting a lot of questions on our Instagram. So thanks so much for asking us stuff. We really appreciate it. It's really fun to like go into Instagram and be like, questions. I don't know. So this is kind of a for you episode where we answer some of your questions. So Aisha, the first question that I have to tell you is someone said they want you to do Marcel the Shell.
To do what?
Marcel the Shell.
What the heck is that?
You don't know what Marcel the Shell is?
No.
Okay. You need to go to YouTube right now and you need to watch Jenny Slate's Marcel the Shell.
Right the second?
Right the second. And then we'll cut this and we'll come back.
Okay.
My name is Marcel. Oh no, that's not the first time I've done that.
Yeah, he's sorry. I forgot to
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean I should do it?
They said that your voice is so great and so perfect that it would be so funny to hear you do that. So.
Interesting. I'll take it into consideration for my future activities.
I think it's just because, like, both of us, when I watched you watch that video and when I could hear it, which hopefully you guys could hear it too.
It sounded like me.
We were both just smiling the whole time. So I think her idea wasn't like, you sound ridiculous, but it was, I smile when I listen to you and you should do this because it makes me smile too.
All right. That's a little bit of a stretch there, but...
Marcel the Shell. But yeah, a lot of people call me Marcel the Shell because of that video.
That's cute.
I guess. Okay, anyways, so that was the first thing. What's that? What else do we have? So another question. Why, in a lot of decks, the Justice is actually card 8 instead of 11, and Strength is card 11 instead of 8. So why is that? And how is that possible? And how does that affect the reading by having a different number?
Do you know the history of why that happened?
I mean, vaguely I do. I didn't look it up before this. I guess I should have. Sorry. But I feel like Strength should be 11 because of the two numbers, like the two ones. Mm-hmm. And it, like two versions of self within the, it gives the strength a deeper meaning, I think.
Oh, see, I think opposite. I think it makes way more sense for strength to be 8 because Leo, lion, 8, August.
Roar.
And justice, having the two ones makes sense because that's more of like the scales, weighing the scales and balance.
Mm. Yeah, but if you turn the 8 sideways,
yeah, it could
it's
be.
Like the two of pentacles.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess both of them, 8 and 11, are numbers that could both represent similar things. How about in terms of the storyline, though, of the major arcana?
Mm. Yeah, I think you need strength to be able to go through the hermit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. But I guess if you pick a deck, if you're like resonating with a deck that already has them switched, then your reading's going to come out the way it's meant to come out.
Yeah. It's intentional with the deck that you use, for sure. I just feel like with modern tarot, it's either going to follow the Rider-Waite or it's going to follow the Marseille, the Golden Dawn. And whichever way it's meant to be interpreted, it's the right way with whatever deck
you're using. The original intention of whatever deck that was created.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's how we feel about that. Okay, so this is, we've talked about this in the past, building a deck of all of your favorite cards from multiple decks.
I love this. But I'm very not like... tell me the word about like when you are scared of black cats. What's that?
Superstitious.
I'm not superstitious. I get like more traditional tarot readers are probably superstitious about things like this, but like to me, I think it the relationship with the deck is all that really matters, that you build. So you could have a freaking deck of like just regular cards and it could be a tarot deck if you attribute meaning to things. But like if every card you get, you have a personal relationship with, that gives you so much more to pull from, like interpreting the readings. So I think it'd be so cool. I've never done it.
So if someone has like 12 decks, you think they should go through, pick their favorite card from each deck?
If that's what they feel called to do, then yeah, sure. I think that would be neat.
I mean, if you're feeling called to do it, absolutely. I agree with that. Would I do that? No.
You are slightly more superstitious than me.
It's not even superstition. It's just OCD. Like, they don't belong together. They belong in their deck, like, with their little friends.
I would like if they all had the same, like, backs. So you wouldn't be able, like, thing is that's weird is, like, you're going to know what all the cards are. So you can't really do a reading on yourself if you have pulls from multiple decks. You could still do it for other people.
Or you just don't look as you go.
Yeah.
You just look off and mix them all together.
Yeah. Mixing them might be hard, just like shuffling in general. If they're different sizes. Yeah. But if they're all the same size, I think it'd be cool.
I'm making a face.
I know.
Okay. What about the decks that are just major arcanas? Would you ever put them with other minor, like find the minors and mix them together? Or would you just do spreads from the majors?
I've actually never worked with a deck like that. I've never even seen one. So I don't, there's not a lot of cards to shuffle there, but
I feel like that's just a for show.
Yeah. And it's, I guess,
like a collection.
It would be more archetypes. So kind of like your whole deck of like archetype cards. That would be the intention, is to just channel different energies that way. But I also would think that like the numbers would mean more in a complete major. I would really put more weight into whether it be about
numerology
or just like a specific date or the energy of how we've been going through the ones, twos, threes, four. I would really take from that and then use whatever the question is to determine what suit would relate to that number. So then I would read it like, oh, if you get like
if it's a relationship reading and you get the seven, whatever, what's number, the chariot, then it would be like, okay, this could be like the seven of cups energy mixed with the chariot.
Yes. Yep. That's how I'd probably read it.
That's actually, I kind of like that idea. Huh. I've never done it. I do know that like on Biddy Tarot and stuff, there are spreads that she has on there for only the majors, but I've never done any of them because again, it's separating the deck and I don't like to separate things. But if it only comes with just the majors, I would probably work with some spreads like that, like you said. I don't think I would mix it with something else. Or it's a good foundation to then bring the minors and create your own.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah. I would think the minors would just be like support then. If you're going into it, assuming it's all majors, then I don't know. The whole entire like energy as a reader would change.
Mm-hmm.
You would take whatever it is. Like, because if you're reading a deck that has majors and minors, when you get major cards, they mean more than the minors do. So if you have all majors, they all kind of mean the same thing. Like they all carry the same weight.
I did a reading where I did three spreads, and the first spread I did, I pulled from the majors. So I separated them out and it was eight cards to see where you are right now and what's going on with all of the energy. And that was really interesting. And it did resonate with the client. So, and it was all big soul stuff. So, and it kind of just shows who you are and where you are in your life currently. So there are spreads out there that are meant for majors.
That's cool.
But I really like the idea of connecting it to a minor. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Next question. When to buy a new tarot deck? How long do you work with the same one? When do you get a new one?
I really haven't gotten... Usually, like, I like the idea of getting gifted tarot decks.
Mm-hmm.
But the past two decks that I've gotten have not been gifted to me. And I have bought them. And the reason I bought my Archeon deck was because I was super obsessed with a book I was reading that had... Like, Archeon was one of the names of the cities in the book. And so when I saw the deck, it was a synchronicity. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, oh my gosh, I got to get it. I didn't end up, I don't really use that deck too much. It's a very dark deck. So maybe if there was like dark issues, I might pull that one. But my Wizards deck, that one, it was really just, I saw somebody that gave a reading that, and the deck looked pretty. Like there was no deep reason for it. But that's the deck that I feel most connected to now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't really go out of my way to buy one. I'm not like sitting there thinking, oh, I need a new tarot deck. I get inspired too when I do.
Same. I think it's all about just if you are fine with the deck that you have and you like it, I don't think you need to be the person that has like 30 decks. I have 4 decks and I use the Rider-Waite for these videos and I use the Lightseer's Tarot that I love so much because it's the one that I researched a lot of different decks and I was between the Spacious Tarot and Lightseer's Tarot. And when I saw the Lightseer's, I didn't even want to look at all the cards because like online, because I wanted to be that excited when I got them.
It's so fun just uncovering like all I love that.
So I would recommend going on Instagram and looking like at the hashtag tarot decks and then looking, I think it was, there's one Instagram account that's like an indie deck review. Hmm. And I think that's where I saw the Lightseer's Tarot. And I was like, I've got to get this card. Honestly, I think it was the death card that I saw. And I was like, I've got to get this deck. But the other ones, the first one I bought myself when I was with you actually in Philadelphia. The other two have been gifted, like my Rider-Waite Smith was gifted. And I gave my original deck away to a friend, which I shouldn't have done. But I didn't like it. I didn't like that deck
anymore.
Wait,
I think I gave a deck away as well, actually.
Yeah. So give your decks away. It's kind of fun and it might work better for somebody else. Don't be a hoarder and have like 60 tarot decks. Like that's crazy to me.
Well, I think I mean, 60 is a little extreme, but it's cool. It's cool to have that option. When I was in Salem, there was a shop that had hundreds of decks. It was insane. I've never seen so many decks.
I do like that.
It was so cool because you could just... That would be when you start really, you mix your own deck. Like, if you had that many to choose from.
Yeah, then you create your own from that.
Yeah, but...
And then put the ones that are incomplete away.
Certain types of illustration really speak to me, like telling a story.
I love that.
Yeah, that's why I like your Lightseer's. I like my Wizards.
Yes. The Marseille one is complicated, like a Marseille-based tarot. Or the Swiss ones.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some of the older ones. It doesn't
have a story.
It feels so dry. Yeah, it doesn't have a story. And I love stories.
Yeah, it feels like, because with ours, there's multiple interpretations that you can have because you see the artist's interpretation and you know the traditional. And then you see pieces like earlier, the emperor with the chess piece. I was like, oh, shit, you know, like this. It's all a game and you need to be the emperor here. You need to take over. You need to take control. And it's all because of the chess piece.
Yeah.
And I've never seen the chess piece before. And it's such a good, I don't know, it's the artist's interpretation, but.
And I really like when a deck is so like illustrated so well that somebody that has never seen a tarot deck before, if I do a reading for them, something will resonate with them that they'll see. And I like asking, like, who are you in this deck? Like, who are you in this card? What aspect of the card catches your eye right away? Because they can feel the story as well. You just get that added.
Which that is a very important point because a friend of mine has been trying to learn tarot and she follows this woman on YouTube and she sent me her videos and I do not like them. They are very negative and very, this is what it means. And she gives you like 10 ideas. And my friend was pulling the Five of Cups repeatedly and she's like, oh my God, it's about me burying my mom. And I'm like, it's not like the Five of Cups. Yeah, it is a heavier card and it's about dealing with change and about crying over something like her mom has not passed away yet.
Wow.
And yeah, I was like, you're not burying your mom. Like you need to, like, that's what the Five of Cups is saying. It's like, get past this sadness that your mom is sick. And accept that this is the reality and try and make this time that you have better.
Yeah.
And she was listening to this woman and I was just like, I do not like her. It's so interesting, like, how... And then so I showed her the Five of Cups, like, from the Light Seers, and it does look like a woman is burying a cup in the sand. And I was just like, okay, maybe I shouldn't show her this card.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, so it was easier to be like, okay, look at the Five of Cups, because she has the Rider-Waite-Smith. I was like, he's facing the three that are toppled over, but look at the two standing behind him. You need to turn around and face what you'd still have. Yeah. And so that helped her. Yeah. Like, so yeah, find a deck that, I don't know, I'm glad that she didn't see the Five of Cups from my deck, and she's actually probably listening to this right now, so hi, you need to, and it's all about, like, feeling into the card, so I don't think it's good to listen to these videos, because it's all about intuitive.
Yeah, it's, yeah, what you're seeing, what you're feeling.
Yeah.
You don't want to get something stuck in your head that somebody else is interpreting, because the question might be different. The situation is different. There's so many different interpretations of every single card.
And the advice from that card would be, love what you've got.
Yeah.
Like, turn around.
Yeah.
Face and look at it from a new perspective. Change your perspective.
Don't cry over spilled milk.
Yes, Five of Cups. Don't cry over spilled milk. But it's not even spilled milk, because you still have milk in the other cups.
Right.
So,
well, that's...
milk.
That's the idea. Have you ever spilled milk and then tried to vacuum it up and then leave the vacuum sitting and smell it really strongly? Oh.
I've never vacuumed milk before.
Well, it was not a good idea. When I worked at Starbucks, we just didn't think.
Ew, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, I know.
That was a long time ago.
It was.
Do you know why they say don't cry over spilled milk?
Because tears and milk don't mix well together.
And that's a great thought, but I don't think so. No, it comes from, actually, I don't know if this is where it comes from, but I was told that it's breast milk, because breast milk is so hard to come by, and it's like, some women can't really do it, and it's like a pressure thing. So if you spill breast milk, you're fucked, because... it's gone, and you have to make more. Sometimes you just can't make more.
Did you hear this somewhere? Are you making this up? Like,
I'm not making it up. I'm gonna Google it right now.
All right.
Where? Okay, let's see.
I feel like that misses the actual, like, point of it. Cause
I mean, maybe it's not real.
Like, what does crying about it change?
Maybe it's not, but literally someone told me that that's what that means. It means that there's no point to being upset over something that has already happened and cannot be changed.
Yeah, that's the meaning.
The meaning. And it said 1888, a book where a man had just been robbed, and despite his predicament, he said it was no use, however, crying over spilt milk. And then there's another one who said, no weeping for shed milk.
I just don't get why milk. Like, why is that the thing that I guess a lot of people just had milk at that time and it spilled a lot. I don't know.
Because it's done. There's nothing you can do. It fell over. You can't put it back in the container.
Yeah.
Maybe that's better than the breast milk thing. I don't know where I heard that.
I don't know either.
I swear someone told me that.
Yeah. The experience of actually, like, we actually did cry over the spilled milk when it happened. And then we realized we're not supposed to be crying over this. Let's just vacuum it up and move on. And
why didn't you just put a paper towel over it?
It was so much milk. It was an entire gallon of milk, and we wanted to leave. It was so late at night. Like, we were already way past closing time. We did not want to be there at all anymore. And then the gallon spilled, and we were just like, we didn't have enough of anything to clean it up. So we were already vacuuming. We're like, let's just suck it up. And we sucked it up, and then came in the next morning, and it was just rotted in the vacuum and so disgusting. And we ruined the vacuum forever, I'm pretty sure. But we laughed about it the next day. But we cried about it that night. And just laughed at ourselves for crying over spilled milk, literally, while we were crying. It was such a bad night. I think it was like probably like Black Friday, working in a mall at Starbucks. Mm. It was the worst. We were also very dramatic.
That is dramatic. Oh, also, totally. You definitely probably ruined the filter on that vacuum.
Oh, I'm pretty sure we had to get rid of the vacuum. Like, we ruined it. It was...
That's nasty.
I know. Definitely.
All right. Well, if you guys have any other questions, send them our way.
Yeah,
and
sure.
We'll do another one of these in a few weeks, or I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. Okay. Bye.
Bye.